get that chorus back up. Can you do that? Just the chorus. Lord, I need you.
There it is.
That's it. That's the prayer I'd like to lead before we get to the message this morning. Because that's how I feel. So, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, Lord, I need you. And glorify this day. May we handle accurately your word of truth. May you guide us in the principles that we can long for your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this week when Lois were on vacation, I actually got to hear a number of sermons, including three sermons that dealt with political. The pastors even call it their political sermon. One pastor that my youngest brother goes to, the pastor preached for an hour and 20 minutes on this topic. I heard the whole sermon. It was good. It's going to be different than what I give this morning because we are going to be dealing with politics. We're going to be dealing with God's political platform. And that is in contrast to what the world is forcing us towards. And there should be a contrast. You know, some have said that this election is the most important election of our lifetimes. Others have gone so far as to say, this is the most important election for our nation, for our country, ever. Now, to back up that statement, I want to read something by a guy that we've already talked about in one of his organizations this morning, Good Samaritan, Samaritan's Purse. And, of course, this is Franklin Graham. And here's what he had to say. He said this in a magazine. I really like this article, too. Called Trump versus Harris, the AMAC. Some of you maybe have already seen this magazine. But there's something in here that I think will help draw this message to a focal point. So here's what Franklin Graham said. He said, I don't know of any time in my life when these rights have been in greater jeopardy than they are at this election. Not only the rhetoric, but more importantly, the track record of those campaigning for our votes could not offer a starker contrast to our future. I'm going to skip over to the back side here. Even though the pastor gave an hour and 20 minute sermon, I'm just taking it. Maybe you guys don't want to hear an hour and 20. Okay, so it says, will it be said of America that it is solid, safe, and unashamed of its founding Christian principles? An America that the world looks to as a leader and a standard setter? That's been true, hasn't it? Absolutely. Will we choose an America where religious liberty, freedom of speech, rights of the conscience are celebrated and not canceled? Or will it be an America that is weak and decaying from within, throwing common sense and decency to the wind? Will we forfeit our future to an even bigger government that schemes to seize more control of our citizens? If we choose the latter, we shouldn't be surprised when parental rights are taken away by the state businesses and state businesses are shut down by the government decree. And speech is policed, with individuals penalized merely for using what some consider the inappropriate pronouns. Finishes the article in this way. Evil is on the march like we have never seen before in our generation. And so the second point I want to consider in this sermon right here is evil is on the march. I want to encourage you to take out your bulletin insert because we're not going to put it up on the board today. I'm going to let you follow along on that. And then I have some other things that we're going to be putting up on the screen. We need to be praying wholeheartedly, and we do every time our prayer gathers on Tuesday night. We utter these words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then one of the verses says this, "And deliver us from the evil." Well, my Bible doesn't say the evil. It says that in the original language. So what's it talking about? Is it talking about the evil agenda? Maybe it is. Or is it talking about the evil one? About Satan himself. Mm-hmm. And that also applies, I believe, in this political season. And our prayer is that God would deliver us from the evil. So how is evil described in the Bible? There's many verses that do describe evil. And David, hold on to that next verse, because I'm not going to get to that right yet. One of the verses that deal with evil, how it is described, is Romans 1, verses 18 to 32. I'm going to jump around here, just kind of highlight a couple of things. Romans 1, 18 begins in this way. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness, mm-hmm. and men who suppress the truth mm-hmm. in unrighteousness." Mm-hmm. You catch that? Mm-hmm. That's what we're facing right now in our culture in this present generation. Unrighteousness, ungodliness, suppression of the truth by unrighteousness. Three times in this passage in Romans 1, 18 to 32, it mentions that they have exchanged something for something else. Mm-hmm. Three times, "you have exchanged." In fact, some have entitled this whole passage of Romans 1 as "the great exchange." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's how it begins. Number one, "they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God." Do you see that in our society? I mean, we were founded as a Christian nation. In fact, John Adams, when after they had passed the Constitution, he says, "We are handing you a republic if you can keep it." Yeah. And then he went on to say that mm-hmm. a republic like this, it's impossible to maintain it except for a part of the rule and control of Christ in the hearts. Mm-hmm. I'm just quoting it right now, mm-hmm. but that's the idea. It is so important that we look to our Christian roots. That's what founded this country. And we need to continue. But what we see today is just what Romans 1 says. They have exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God. We are starting to lose some of our glory, aren't we? Going on. In verse 25 it says they have exchanged the truth of God. And then these words, "for the lie." Once again, there's a pronoun before, or excuse me, an article before the lie. The lie. The great exchange. People all across our land are listening to the lie. And what is the lie? It goes on to say that lie is to exchange the truth of God for something else. That's what the lie is. God has offered us His truth. He has said that righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a disgrace to any people. He's told us that. And yet we have people offering the lie. If you do these things, if you kill babies, if you allow homosexuality, if you do these evil things, if you deny parents the right to raise their families, this nation will be great. No, it won't. This nation will fall on the ash heap of condemnation.
That's right.
Amen.
So they exchange the truth of God for the lie. And go down in verse 26. They exchange the natural function for what is unnatural. And you know what goes on from that. The same way also men abandon the natural function of women and burn in their desire one to another. My friends, this, we're talking about evil here, okay? Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Mm-hmm. But then it goes on to continue to describe this downward degradation of evil in a society. And here it is. "Just as they did not fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind." Mm-hmm.
to do those things that are not proper, being filled with all, guess what? Unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. How'd that one get there? Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Do you see this? I sure do. God has given them over to these things. Although they know the ordinance of God, those who practice such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, and here's where it comes to the rest of the nation. Mm-hmm. This is addressing the populace. Mm-hmm. It says they give hearty approval to those who practice those things. Mm-hmm. Let that not be the church. Amen. Let not that be us. Amen. We need to stand on the side of truth and righteousness and justice. Yeah. More of that to come. Amen. But in this passage, it says that they exchange the glory, and that's three times, and then three times it follows it up with God gave them over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here it is, verse 24. God gave them over to lust in their heart, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. That's one of the things that God gave them over to. Mm-hmm. God gave them over to degraded passions. Yeah, you can certainly see that. And then it says also, God gave them over to a depraved mind. My friends, there are things that are right, and there are things that are wrong. This is the problem. Romans 1 outlines it for us. Why are we in such condition? Let's look at another passage in the New Testament. I think you get the drift here. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Here we find these words. Finally, and this is Paul's address to every Christian. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. My friends, be strong in the Lord, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. The devil does have schemes. And the things that are taking place in our society right now are happening because of the outworking of the schemes of the devil. He is ruling in the heavenlies. That's what that last part is about. Flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. We have an arch enemy who's working behind the scenes. And the things that are that Paul warns about in Romans 1 are happening now in our society. They're evil. We are on the march to evil. So God does give His people a choice, though. You do have a choice. That choice is outlined in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 2nd chapter, verses 11 to 13. And this is what God offered to the nation of Israel, or Judah, as they were falling into a way of degradation. God is saying to us, you have a choice. You don't have to go along with the world. You don't have to go along to get along. Some politicians said that. But you can stand for truth and righteousness and justice. So here's the people's choice. In Jeremiah 2, verses 11 to 13. Has a nation changed gods for those that are not gods? Yes. Yes, they have. Both in Israel and both with us. But my people have changed their glory into that which does not profit. Do not think that the way of the world, following the Luciferic agenda, we're going to get to that, is going to make this country strong. It is weakening it. It is bringing about a complete erosion and corruption from within. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Shudder, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Right, right. And the things that so many people, not everybody, but so many people in our country right now, they are pursuing broken cisterns. Yeah. And they are cisterns that are not refreshing. They're not cisterns that are going to build up this nation.
They are sisters that have taken us completely away from the God who made us strong. And you know, what our songs sing about? America, America, God shed His grace on you. Absolutely. We are a nation because God has made us a nation. There have been miracles throughout our country's history that apart from God, we would not exist today. And now we have the audacity to say we no longer need God. That, my friends, is a broken system. And as believers, we need to say, I stand against it. So let's move on to number three. Evil does have an agenda. There is an agenda that is being pursued by people who do not stand for truth, righteousness, and justice. There's an evil that is being pursued. I would identify it as this, the Luciferian agenda. This has been going on from the very beginning. When Cain slew Abel, he was falling prey to the Luciferian agenda. When Eve took the fruit from the tree of knowledge and evil, she was falling in to the Luciferian agenda. We see it throughout the scripture. My friends, you can maybe identify again in our culture. So, number one on the pursuit of the Luciferian agenda, you choose deception, lies over truth. You know, how much, don't tell me what's true. Tell me what I want to hear. No. We need to be a nation based upon truth. And the Luciferian objective agenda is to deny people of the truth. If you look at 2 Thessalonians 2, it talks about the deception that is going to take place. In fact, Jesus put it this way. The deception is going to be so strong that it might even mm-hmm. fool the very elect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We live in a time of deception and lies. Man, my eyes were really opened up during the pandemic. When our nation was actually denying people the things that were going to heal them. Saying you need to do these things instead, but disappear. Hardly anybody survived that treatment. There were some. But it was an evil agenda. And people that were healed didn't go the government's way. They said there must be a better way. And there was. But we have seen much lying and deception, non-truth. And my friends, what does the Bible say about Lucifer? Jesus himself said this. He is a liar and the father of lies. Number two, he is a murderer. There's this whole climate of death that comes with the Luciferian agenda. A whole climate of death that is being promoted by the globalists. What do I mean by that? Abortion, number one. And this last week, of course, we were on vacation, so we got to hear some political ads from other than just this part of the land here. Mm-hmm. And it makes me sick when I hear this. We stand for a woman's right to freedom. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Or the other side is against women's health. I'm on the other side, and I am not against women's health. I want them to be healthy. Yeah. In fact, I don't want them to fall prey to all the things that happen when they try to seek abortions.
Mm-hmm. Abortion is not health care.
No. Thank you, Cindy. Yeah. Abortion is not health care. But the one side says it is, because they are participating in a climate of death. You know, I heard recently what the number one cause of death in Canada is today. They're right across the border, 100 miles from my house. You know what the number one cause is?
Euthanasia.
Euthanasia. People choosing to end their life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did that
assistance
come from?
Yeah, government assistance. Yeah, they send it to you.
What's that?
You can get a kit.
We have with the Luciferian agenda a culture of death. I mean, I look at some of the other states. I heard about California, who passed a similar bill to Washington State, where children can be taken away from the parents if they try to stand against their child's transgenderism.
Yes.
What?
abuse.
In fact, California went even farther than that. They said, not only can you can you perform abortion on somebody, but the first 30 days of their life, you can choose to cause them to expire. There's some state on the East Coast that says if the abortion fails, they take the baby and put it in a room by itself. Mm-hmm. With these words, you're on your own. That is the culture of death. And my friends, that is the Luciferian agenda.
And they sell their baby parts.
Mm-hmm. And they do that too. Mm-hmm. It is evil. Evil is on the march. Let's continue on. I better hurry up here. They promote perversion. You know that. Even our own school, a couple of years ago, our state approved pornography for the teaching of youngsters about sex education. They talk about homosexuality as being an alternative lifestyle. They say that everybody has to have the choice to choose their gender. You know, Facebook says that there's 58 genders. Did you know that's 58?
Only 58?
Oh, you say, well, that's way too few. Okay, there's another organization that recognizes 107 different genders. What does God say? In the beginning, he made male and female, and the two shall become one flesh. In our own statement here at the church, we try to make sure that people understand that. We recognize only two genders. You're either male or female. When somebody says, what are your pronouns? I want to respond by saying, what are your chromosomes? You're either XX or XY.
Yeah.
Don't get confused. God didn't make confusion. That's the Luciferian agenda. All right, Luciferian agenda also includes a totalitarian, one world government. That's the direction they want to push us all. One world government. Not only that, totalitarianism. That is, if you don't get this fax, and some of you relate to this very closely, if you don't get this fax, you're going to lose your job. My friends, that's totalitarianism. The Luciferian agenda says that should apply in many places across our society. In fact, the government should determine how you live and what you do with your life. That is not what God says. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything will be added to you. Don't fall into that totalitarian movement. You know that we came so close to allowing the governments of the world to set over the affairs of the United States with the Paris Accord. And the Obama administration secretly signed it. And when Trump came in, he said, no way, we're canceling it right now. And he did. You know, we dodged another bullet just, I don't remember if it was this year or last year. It might have been this year. In fact, I think it was this year. And that was the WHO. In case you haven't heard of that, it's the World Health Organization. It's ran by a guy who is a blatant communist, one who has killed many people. And Mr. Biden gave him 13 agenda changes and said, we're behind you. Fortunately, in Congress, the Congress is able to defund that movement. Otherwise, we would be under the World Health Organization right now. It's evil. It's a one-world government. It is what the Luciferian agenda teaches. Lawlessness. Oh, defund the police. Release criminals back into the society. There are people that would be still alive today if people weren't practicing this practice. I think about this gal down in Florida who was murdered by a guy who had already been just captured and put in prison because he killed somebody else. And they let them go. What is that all about? Well, we got to be fair to the new immigrants. You better change your policies.
The illegal immigrants.
The illegals. Use the events. They use the events, either real or fabricated. You know, how are we being pushed towards this one world government? Well, there's at least three ways that I see happening all the time. One of them is race.
You know, if you don't go along with their call out of racial tensions and racial preferences, you're a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if you're a black person, you're a white supremacist. I can't figure that one out. But it's crazy. They're using race to divide people and to push us towards a one-world government. They're using what they call man-made climate change. That's a big one, right? And by the way, the I don't have time to talk about this morning, Agenda 21 and Agenda 30 are based upon climate change that wants to bring the whole world under the thumb of some world cabal. Based upon man-made climate change. And it has affected you guys personally as well, already. Because many of the things that are being decided in our country, including taxation, are based upon this whole thing. And it is something that the Luciferian agenda is bringing to divide righteousness and unrighteous and bring people towards a one-world controlled totalitarian government. The other one, in addition to these, are the plandemic. And you know how they were talking about having to have a special, maybe even a special chip under your skin to show that you had the vax. They talked about putting in certain dyes that they could see you in as you went through a shopping center. They could tell if you had the vax or not. That is being used to cause people to have to toe the line with some worldwide agenda. It's Luciferian agenda. The final one on this list here. They denigrate God. We don't need God. In fact, it was stated in the Humanist Manifesto a number of years ago, all the way back in 1933, that God cannot save us. We must save ourselves. And that's the whole worldwide agenda, because it is satanic. It is Luciferian. It says, let's get rid of God, because God just takes him away from our agenda. You know, just this week, the Homeland Security added a new group of terrorists. Many of you here are on that category. I just warned you ahead of time. Because they say anybody who stands in protest against the woman's right to kill her baby is a terrorist.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm using the heart's language because that's the way I feel. Mm-hmm. Abortion stops a beating heart. It is murder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But they're saying, no. You can do that because, you know, we want to have the women's right to choose. Mm-hmm. And people that don't go along with that, they're against women's health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How about the health of the baby?
Mm-hmm.
But they seek to get rid of God and denigrate those that believe in Him. And by the way, that is only increased. The government has been used many times just recently to go after people who are found protesting at abortion clinics, even praying on the street, not bothering anybody else. They're using some of the agencies to go after people because we are pursuing hard a leftist, one-world government. So, let's move on. Not only is that the Luciferian agenda, but the devil does have schemes. He does have schemes, and he uses organizations. This last week, one of the things I did, I read this book entitled The Deep State. And it was very informative. And one of the things it did, it pointed out a number of secret societies. It went on to describe when they were founded, who they were led by, what their agendas are. Their agendas, every single one of them that they listed, would fit very well into the Luciferian agenda. Here's some of the secret societies that they listed. The Illuminati. You ever heard that one, Peter? Yes, because Peter and I talked about that before. He knows more about it than I do. But you might not know this. It was started by a group called the SOS. You say, oh, SOS, save our city? No, it begins to see. Satanic Synagogue of Satan is what it stands for. Synagogue of Satan. That's the Illuminati.
the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, led by a guy named David Rockefeller, who lived until he was 101. Mm-hmm. He was a self-proclaimed atheist. Mm-hmm. He led these organizations. The Skull and Bones. You ever heard about anybody that belongs to that? One election, we only had a choice between John Kerry, who was part of the Skull and Bones, or George Bush, who was part of the Skull and Bones. They both practice satanic rituals. I shouldn't say both. The Skull and Bones practices satanic rituals, as does the Bohemian Club group. They practice satanic rituals. These things, these organizations that I mentioned, all of them have their roots in the Luciferian agenda.
Yes.
Well, why bring these things up? Because almost all of our political leaders are part of one of these groups. There's only one leader in the last 30 years that I'm aware of that hasn't been a presidential nominee, that hasn't been part of this. Only one. It was a guy named Donald Trump. In fact, Newt Gingrich said this of Donald Trump: they give him such a hard time because he's not part of the club. He's not part of the club. And so we have these secret organizations setting an agenda, contributing to the deep state, which is the shadow government that runs this country. You ever heard a guy named Joe Biden who was given a message, and he said, "I can't say that, I can't deal with that, because if I do, they'll be really mad at me." Who is the they? There you go. There's the they. And so there is a Luciferian agenda that has been let loose on our society. And these secret organizations are contributing toward the demise. The devil's hand is in these societies. You know, the last one there, the World Economic Forum, it's the new kid on the block. Some of you are familiar with it, a guy named Klaus Schwab, whose dad was a Nazi. He talks about the fourth industrial state, not the Third Reich, or the third industrial state, but the fourth industrial state. He's still given over to Nazism. He's given over most of all to the Luciferian agenda. He promotes this idea that you will have nothing, you will own nothing, and be happy.
And be happy, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of this organization, but many of our leaders have. In fact, Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris gave messages, gave points of support for the World Economic Forum. Do you understand? There is an evil that is at work in our society today. You know, here's the bad news. This is bad news, okay? There is coming a day in the future where this Luciferian agenda, this deep state, this shadow government is going to win out. At least temporarily, win out. And we call that period of time, the Bible actually speaks of that period of time. And it is a period of time that has been described in detail in a book called Revelation. And the day is coming when the deep state, the Committee on Foreign Relations, the World Economic Forum are going to have their moment in the sun. Let me just say this. You do not want to be here when that happens. 2 Thessalonians 2 says it comes in with a great deception, and that everyone will be deceived and will be under a totalitarian thumb. Read Revelation 13 if you want to see what it's really going to be like. There will be the development of a digital currency that will be imposed on everybody, and they will keep track, surveillance over you like China does over its neighbors. The World Economic Forum already holds up China as a paragon and says, man, it's too bad other nations aren't like China, because they're really doing it. They are really doing it. They are oppressive. They are pushing a one-world government. China wants to be the leaders in that one-world government. And they are having a heyday. One day, they'll have their day of the sun.
All right. So I've talked enough about the other side.
How about us? What is our position? What is God's political platform? What are the things that we should be encouraging, that we should be looking at to cast a vote that is in keeping with God's side? Don't ask God to be on your side. Ask God that you may be on His side. Here is His political platform. We got that up, David?
No.
Okay.
You said it was on here.
Oh, okay. All right. So you guys are just going to have to follow along on your notes. First of all, it begins with practicing truth, righteousness, and justice. And when I say this, truth, we want to have leaders who tell us the truth. I don't know if you've noticed in this present campaign, false statements are coming from both sides. The thing is, with Mr. Trump, they're using exaggerations. From the other side, there are things that they say one thing one way, and then they flip around and they say the opposite the next day. And they make all these promises and say they've already done these when they haven't. So we want to have leaders that follow the truth. How about righteousness? Is righteousness a bad word? But that is something that we are called upon. In fact, God made Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that we would become the righteousness of God in Him. My friends, truth, righteousness, and justice are very important to God. In fact, if you look at the prophets in the Old Testament, every nation that fell based upon their commitment to truth, righteousness, and justice. Certainly, you can say that of Israel. It's very blatantly clear. And when I say justice, I'm not talking about two levels of justice, where the right gets one kind of justice and the left gets another. You guys know about that. That's another sermon. But God calls people to truth, righteousness, and justice. Secondly, He tells us to stand for life. Where does it say that? Well, it says in Psalm 139, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by our Creator. Mm-hmm. In fact, in Jeremiah 1, I was just reading the whole book of Jeremiah while we're on vacation. Mm-hmm. It said that God knew Jeremiah before he was born. Mm-hmm. While you're in the room. In fact, Psalm 127 says that children are from the Lord. And blessed are they that have their quiver full of them. I'll fix your quiver. They're from the Lord. God is the one who brings children into the world, not the government. You know, the emphasis in our present society is children don't belong to the parents. Children belong to the society. Children belong to public education. It is corrupt to the core. That's another sermon. Stand for life. You know, the thing that finally was the nail in the coffin for the nation of Judah was a king named Manasseh. You know what Manasseh did that was particularly bad? It was said of Manasseh that he caused the blood to flow in the streets. What are we talking about? He sacrificed babies. Holy smoke. You mean there's a society that would actually agree to allowing babies to be killed? It is wicked, it is evil, and it goes against God. Amen. I hope I'm clear about that. Stand for traditional marriage. You know, we don't have 107 genders. We have two. And blessed is the nation that has families that raise children, that love God and support the culture of God. Stand up for traditional marriage. Next, recognize established borders. Where did you get that one from? I'm bringing that up because we live in a country right now where the borders have been eroded. I was looking this morning, how many immigrants have come into the United States in the last 4 years? You know what they said? 54 million
And most of them have come in what we would call illegally. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, if you've also noticed the news, the Democrats are pushing forth that even people who aren't citizens should have a right to vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 54 million votes for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does God say? Here we go. Here's what God says. Acts 17:26. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and their boundaries of habitation. God's in favor of boundaries. He's in favor of countries holding on to their sovereignty. You can read that all throughout the Old Testament. There's some nations that didn't deserve to have their sovereignty. But God said, nations that are following Him do. We're running ourselves bankrupt because we have violated this principle of God. Number five on the list, support Israel. Support Israel. Why do I say that? Genesis 12, verse 3 says this, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. When we stand with Israel, we are standing on God's side. All right? Israel has had some troubles with this present administration. And we need to make sure that we as an American people are praying for them and supporting them, because that is God's platform. One more thing. Honor Jesus. Respect His church. If God were to put together a political platform, you had better bet this would be on there. Honor my son. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he loved the church and gave his life for it. Do not stand against God, his son, his word, or his church. And boy, if we only listen to that one point, it might really affect how we vote. And so I'm going to close just with this ad. I saw a political ad in in Washington. This was actually near Yakima. How do they say that? Yakima.
Yakima.
So here's what this ad said. I love this. It said this: my politics are formed by my principles. My principles are based upon my faith. You want me to say that again?
Mm-hmm.
My politics are affected by my principles. My principles are based upon my faith.
Amen.
My friends, my prayer and hope for you today is that you would have that same attitude. My political position is based upon my principles. The principles are based upon what God teaches. Here's God's political platform. You know, don't vote for personality. I don't like Orange Man. He says mean things. Yes, he does. You know, he says a lot of mean things. But my main concern is, what are his principles? What is his platform? What is his performance? Were last 4 years ago better than these last 4 years? Now, you have to determine that. But don't vote personality. Vote principles.
Amen.
Here's the bottom line. I'll close with this. Your life will either be guided by God's principles, or they will be influenced by principles working against God. Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Either your life will be guided by the principles of this book right here, or your life is going to be guided, if you choose the other side, by principles that want to take God down. The decision is very, very well defined this year. And I encourage you, please do vote. Here's a horrible saying. 50% of the evangelical church did not vote in 2020. Do you know how much difference that could have made in that election?
40,000 votes.
My friends, I encourage you, I plead with you to please vote. And then I would say, vote your conscience. Vote your principles. Don't vote personalities. Let's pray. Lord God, we need this guidance from you, because we live in a world that sometimes beautifies evil, glorifies it, makes it look right, and Lord, denigrates those that stand against it. But Lord, help us to be people of principle, people of character, people who want to be on your side. Lord, guide us as we seek for those who will lead us in this country. And I pray, Father, with all my heart, that we may see a revival in the land. That we may see people turn to truth and righteousness and justice, just as you have asked. Lord, guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.